Sunday the 16th of April 2017, Easter Sunday, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Easter 2017. Sermon title, He is Risen. Bible reading, John chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. Talk by Reverend Martin Court.
The reading is taken from the Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter, beginning to read at the first verse. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Terry. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would open this word to us, that we would see something of your love afresh as you come to life in the empty tomb, Lord. Come to life in our lives, we pray, through this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Easter for me is always a time of old jokes. This is another old joke, but it's one of my favourites, and it's of the three old guys. And they're sat round us having a cup of coffee together, chatting and whiling away the hours. And one of them says, we're nearly 100 years old, each of us nearly 100 years old now. He says, and one day soon we will pass from this world into the next. And I was just wondering what you wanted people as they came up to pay their last respects and they're looking in the coffee, what you wanted them to say. Well, the first guy said, I would love for them to say that I was a really good doctor, great family man. Oh, that's lovely, they said. Yeah. And the second guy said, well, he said, in the same way, I'd love to be remembered as a really good teacher. I pray that I've nurtured children through their life and grown the next generation, and I'd love for people to say that I did that well. And they said, oh, that's lovely, that's lovely. And then the third guy, Jimmy, said, what about you? He said, well, if I'm honest, he said, when they're looking into the coffin, looking at me, I'd love for them to say, oh, look, he's moving. New life. Folks, the greatest day in history, because this day, a little over 2,000 years ago, the last enemy, as Paul calls it, is overthrown, put under Christ's feet, as the Bible says. The real scourge of human existence, the thing that we fear most, the one thing that brings most pain in life, the thing that makes no sense to us when we put it next to Christ's words, I have come to give you life and life to the full. The final bastion of the devil's crumbling kingdom topples. Death itself is defeated, just as Jesus said it would be. Alleluia and amen to that. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And as Paul says, if we've been united with Christ in his death, then we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. The culmination of God's salvation plan. Easter Day, thanks be to God. Friends, just three truths that I see on Easter Day from that wonderful scene at the tomb site. And the first really is very simple. Everything Jesus touches gets transformed. Everything he touches gets transformed. I wonder what your life was like before you became a Christian. And I know that I've told my story before from the pulpit, but it still amazes me that Christ would touch a life. I had a wonderful life in many ways, everything that I could want for, still do of course, but I was brought up in a loving home, Christian home. We had money. My dad was a bank manager in Lloyd's Bank. We had good holidays, good Christmases, good birthdays, never not a meal on the table. And yet as I was a young lad growing up in Reading, that's where we used to live at that time, life wasn't always quite as simple as that. At the age of eight, I started smoking. At the age of nine, I was stealing the cigarettes that I was smoking, as well as anything else that I could get hold of. I started riding around in other people's cars and on their motorbikes without asking them permission. At the age of 12, I was asked to leave my school. I wasn't expelled, but I was given the opportunity to jump before I was pushed. And even there, fortune shone down on us. I ended up at a private school. But it cost, and Mum had to go back out to work to pay for it. It was the only school in the whole of the Reading area that would take me. By now, of course, I was stealing for fun. At 14, I was accused of burgling my own home. Mother's jewels had been nicked, and her son was the number one suspect. That's a strange feeling. When Thames Valley CID come to interview you for stealing from your own home. She had a nervous breakdown. Of course, I hadn't done it. But I was stealing from other people. Even at 18, now living in Bournemouth, I was asked to leave the post office job where I was working because I was lifting money out of the till. I wonder what your life was like before Christ came into it. And the simple truth is that Jesus transforms all that he touches. Mary Magdalene, the scarlet sinner, a prostitute, turned disciple. The woman caught in adultery, forgiven. Matthew, a tax collector, turned into a saint. And then the floodgates open, blind Bartimaeus given his sight, Legion given proper clothes and a right mind, Zacchaeus given some friends, lepers made clean. Woman at the well given back her dignity. and restored her life to the hitherto mock life that she was leading. And beyond his death and his resurrection and his ascension, Jesus is still transforming. When a cripple cried out for alms, Acts chapter 3 says that Peter looks straight at him and says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I will give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And the man walked. And on into today, when a thief becomes a priest. It's amazing stuff, isn't it? It's amazing stuff. And at Easter, of course, we see Christ transform death itself. No longer a dead-end wall, pardon the pun. Now a tunnel that leads to a greater and fuller life, a banquet prepared for all mankind. Folks, who knows what's happening in your lives other than you and God? But I tell you the good news of Easter, if there's anything in your life that needs transforming, then Jesus is the man for you. He can turn water into wine. He can turn errant lives straight. He can calm storms that come in our lives. And he can even turn death into new life. Everything Christ touches gets transformed. The second thing I see in this Easter story is that Jesus desperately wants to be found so that he can do that transformational work. In the text, John goes to great lengths to tell us that the grave clothes are untouched. The cloth used to wrap the master's head is even neatly folded. Thoughts of Christ's body being snatched and stolen were rife in at this time. And John wanted to show us categorically that he has not been stolen by any grave snatchers. But do you see the implication, the fact, the truth of it all? The stone is rolled away. Christ even had time to get the iron out to do the head scarf. He could have gone. He could be gone. He could be miles away by now, but he's not. No doubt he's chatting with the two angels, but what he's really doing is hanging around waiting for humanity to find him. Got all the time he needs to go elsewhere. Mary comes down to the tomb, sees the stone rolled away. She runs back to the town. That's a hike. When she gets there, if the guys are anything like my son, they're still asleep in bed. She's got to wake them up. They've got to get dressed. Then they've got to hike back down. Do you see how much time has been wasted here? And yet Jesus is still there, waiting to be found. Because he wants to be found. By you and by me. He wants to be found by Mary and the disciples. He longs to be found. Ever since the Garden of Eden, when sin separated us from God, Genesis tells us God came looking for us because he wanted to be found. And he's crying out amongst the bushes and the trees, "Where are you?" Friend, God loves to be known. He loves to be heard. Loves to be loved by those that he has created, by you and by me. I still think that this is one of the best demonstrations of that. You see, mobile phone, we can do anything, but can't we? Now I can talk to it and it'll talk back to me. Very annoying sometimes, because I'll say, "Can you ring so-and-so?" And it'll say, "I can't find that in the directory." Well, I know it's there because I've asked him to ring. I can get anything out of this. But here's the thing, we've got to be plugged in, haven't we? This has been on the whole service. But we haven't listened to it, have we? We haven't stopped to listen to it. But if... a little bit of jazz playing, a little bit of Muddy Waters. I love Muddy Waters. We've got to tune in. And Jesus waits around for us to tune in. Because he wants us to hear his words of guidance, his words of love. It's words of grace. As a young man, I needed to hear words of forgiveness. That it was okay. Words that restored us. And Jesus will do anything to get our attention. He sent prophets to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. He's given us the most sold book in the world, also the most stolen book in the world. That's ironic, isn't it? The Bible.